Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, how to handle meeting killers. Chapter 5, The Rambler. Here we go. Well, we've done a number of casts so far on addressing behaviors in meetings that reduce meeting effectiveness, and this was based on a 2012 Wall Street Journal article, and we've got into some detail. So without further ado, one of the ones that just drive people crazy is the rambler, the person that talks and talks. Meeting effectiveness just goes to the toilet. So tell me,
down
Mark,
the tubes.
What are we going to do about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's agree that one of the biggest problems with this is the meeting leader who talks and talks and talks and talks. But that's not what this cast is about.
that's a different conversation.
We encourage you to be self-regulating there, gentlemen and ladies. But this is about if you're running a meeting, what do you do when you've got somebody who rambles, who just goes off on tangents? And in fact, the journal article says this is the toughest one to handle. I actually disagree. I think what they were saying is they're the toughest to handle without ground rules, without agendas, and so on. And I believe they're the toughest because they're the most frequent. And I believe partially they're the most frequent because managers don't do the things before meetings, like ground rules, like agendas, which reduce the chances for somebody to do this, and then in the meeting, don't actually insist on following the ground rules and following the agenda. If you do that, then ramblers fall way off, and that's what this cast is about. You know, that's what ramblers do. They go down rabbit trails, they talk. You know, look, there are some people who are sophisticated ramblers. They organize their thoughts. They tell you in advance they have a few points to make.
The sophisticated rambler.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, they're very sophisticated about their misery and invoking their misery on everybody else. And they take a decade making each of their points. And so consequently, regardless of how sophisticated they are, they're still causing pain on the rest of the organization. And the whole point of the pain is it takes time away from everybody else doing other work. They don't add any value, but it takes time. And when you don't add value, folks, and you take time, that's bad. It's always bad. The unsophisticated guy who's a rambler just starts talking and keeps stringing together points and stories and ideas, and he backtracks and she shares some related tangents and some ideas, and then everyone just dies of lack of oxygen. And part of the reason, folks, people die in your meetings when there's a rambler and you don't know what to do because, oh, he's a super technical person and really smart and I can't afford to lose him and everything else. Part of the lack of oxygen is not just they're tired of hearing that person, is that they feel you do have enough power and you ought to be protecting them from the person who just goes blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay? That's a good point. Folks imbue the meeting leader with some power, right?
Yeah,
and they expect
they do.
You
they
to
do.
Do it. And when you don't do it, yeah, they don't like the rambler. They don't like you either.
That's exactly right, yeah. And ramblers lay waste to agendas. They lay waste to everybody else's schedules. They cause meetings to run over. They bore people. And what's funny about this is that every meeting leader knows that ramblers exist. And most, I would say 99% of all meeting leaders have experienced the rambler. And the reason that there are still ramblers leads us to Horseman's Law of Ramblers, which is it's always the meeting leader's fault when you have a rambler mess up a meeting. It's simple. You're responsible for the meeting, okay? If you allow them to ramble without doing certain things before, during, and after the meeting, it's your fault, guys. And let's admit it, us fellow managers out here, okay? Ramblers are the most common. Maybe they're just unorganized. Maybe they're using a delaying tactic. Maybe they're strategically trying to avoid something else. Some of them are insecure. Some of them are show-off. Some of them are uncomfortable not talking because they feel like they have to bring up a point on everything so that their two cents can be heard. And some of them aren't comfortable talking, and so they rarely do talk. But when they do, oh my gosh, they're, you know, forever and ever and ever. So look, we're responsible as meeting leaders. And I happen to think that even though you could make a case that they're the worst of all, they're the easiest to cure. I mean, they really are the easiest to squelch. That's what I think.
Okay, so if that's true, tell us, how do you squelch these guys? What do you do to change their behavior?
Yeah, it's simple. The short answer is thinking about meetings before, what you do before the meeting to reduce the chances, during the meeting to reduce the chances, and after the meeting. And by the way, folks, just to be clear, if Mike didn't mention something at the top of the show, we're doing a very rare thing this particular cast. I missed a flight because of a delay, thanks to some American Airlines pilots deciding that a coffee maker was worthy of not taking off. And so therefore, for the first time ever, Mike, we're recording this while I'm at a flagship lounge at LAX Airport. You're at home, and we're not in an environment that is ideal for us recording. And I just heard somebody 50 feet away from me having a quiet conversation. So if you heard that, folks, and our fabulous audio engineer, Paul Faggiani, wasn't able to get rid of it, we apologize for that. We care very much about our quality, and we also care about never missing a deadline. And we're right up against the deadline here, and I'm going to be on a plane for the next several hours, so we don't have a choice.
Yeah. And so, I've been told that that waves crashing in the background is much more smoothing, even it's
is that right? Yeah, is that right? But, okay. You know,
the airline lounge.
Did people say that they heard them? Do we actually have waves in the background? That's kind of good.
The only person who told me about it was Wendy, actually.
Oh, okay. That doesn't count. It doesn't count.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, so what do we do before a meeting to help squelch a rambler? The way you squelch a rambler before a meeting is set ground rules, okay? And we've talked about this before, and, you know, I was worried today that this is the fifth installment of this cast, and I love this Wall Street Journal article because it actually got down into the details, into the weeds. It actually helped managers rather than just talking about something and not offering any solutions. And yet, at the same time, I realized something as I was getting ready to record, which is it might be boring, the stuff we recommend. We're recommending the same things over and over again, but that's what good management is. Good management is boring. It's repetitive. It's not sexy. It's not pretty. It's boring. And the way you handle so many of these problems in meetings, the first thing you do is you set ground rules designed to reduce the chances that this kind of behavior occurs, or to set a case for when, in fact, you challenge the behavior, you're defending the ground rules rather than simply asserting your power as the meeting leader. For those of you who haven't listened to our Effective Meetings cast, which, by the way, we consider to be in our hall of fame of all the casts we've ever done, we encourage you to do so, okay? We talk about, in that cast, about setting ground rules for standing meetings. We recommend ground rules for almost all meetings that you do. The beauty of ground rules, they serve as, basically, as like guardrails, I guess, and they're agreed to in advance by everyone. And when somebody agrees to a ground rule at the first episode of a set of standing meetings, they will self-police themselves somewhat, and then they're giving you, as the meeting leader, the ability to police them going forward, to invoke the ground rules rather than just to shake your finger and say, I'm the boss and you're wrong. If you're a meeting leader and you have a meeting with ground rules, you won't have to be the enforcer nearly as often, and you won't have to do it nearly as heavily, because again, attendees are going to self-police. Because they want to avoid violating the ground rules. Now, what ground rules do we need to set for the rambler? The first one is an easy one that you would set, I think, even if you didn't think about ramblers, which is stay on time. Okay?
You would think.
Yeah, you'd think.
If you set that as one of the rules, like staying on time, then the rambler has less room to maneuver, right? I mean, there's only so much time.
At least you can corral them within the agenda item that you're leading, right? Guys, when everyone agrees to staying on time, ramblers don't have as much ability to ruin your meeting. Meeting leaders are able to say to them, we're able to say to them in the meeting, hey, Bob, we're no longer on time. You have to wrap up in 1 minute. Okay? And by the way, in our meetings cast, we talk about how to handle interrupting somebody. I'll cover it again now because it's worthy. And that is, the first time, if somebody's running close to their, if somebody's scheduled to brief for, say, they're on the agenda for 10 minutes, if they're 8 minutes into their 10 minutes, what you say is, 2 minutes before the end, you say, you have 2 minutes. And with 1 minute left, you say, Bob, you have 1 minute. The first one they'll probably miss, but when you start the next statement with their name, they'll hear you and they'll know they have 1 minute. And frankly, we ought not to have to do this, because as professionals, they ought to have been prepared, perhaps even rehearsed, and they ought to know how many comments they have in the 10 minutes. But apparently, not everybody does, because this is a frequent problem. Okay, so stay on time is first. Okay. The second thing is stay on agenda. Now, both stay on time and stay on agenda imply that you've got an agenda in advance. If you don't want to run meetings with agendas because you're so creative or my people are all really good, I want to let them run free, well, good luck with that. We're not the people you need to listen to about meetings, because we've been in thousands, tens of thousands of meetings, and the best meetings we go to are the ones who start on time, stay on time, and finish on time, and have an agenda to essentially schedule the entire meeting, whether it's 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, or 5 days. Okay. Right.
And if you're listening, you know that, because you've been in meetings like that and you walk out and go, yeah, oh my God, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I made a point this week while I was traveling. I made a point to a client. Have you ever been in a training session where 15 minutes before the end of the day, somebody said, hey, we're pretty close, just bear with us, we're about an hour away from being done? I mean, really? Maybe they're geniuses about whatever they're training you. Do they really expect people to give them full credibility on their topic, their expertise, if they can't run a meeting, which they're supposed to be doing on a regular basis? It just doesn't make sense. And guys, if you're a manager and you can't run meetings, something that's very straightforward that almost everybody who's worked for you has seen done by people who are probably less smart or less effective as you, less effective than you, guys, you're losing credibility left and right. If you think you're doing good because you're doing one-on-ones and feedback, but your meetings suck, no offense, but it's an easy win for you to put in place some simple rules. And again, you can listen to our Effective Meetings cast to learn how. Not hard. Okay, second rule for ramblers is stay on agenda. Look, when everybody agrees to staying on the agenda, the rambler, again, has less ability to take the group off on tangents. If there's only a 10-minute time frame to talk about Project X, they can't talk for 8 minutes about Project X, because at the end of their 5 minutes, it's time to move on to Project Y or Project Z.
Right. And the point is that they also can't talk about Project B because it's not on the agenda.
Exactly. Okay. Oh, good point. Yeah, it's not on the agenda. Sorry, Bob. No. We're not talking about that. No, Bob, I'm going to stop you right there, right? And look, that's what you do. You say, sorry, Bob, you're taking us off the agenda. Get back on track and be brief, and we're going to move on. Yeah. And look, guys, I'm going to say that again. You say, sorry, Bob, you're taking us off agenda. Get back on track. Be brief. Folks, if you worry about being this direct, you might be surprised how easy it is. It's not actually hard to say those words. You could say them right now in your car and wherever you are, and you'd be like, wow, that was easy to say. What you're worried about is not saying the words. You're worried about the other person pushing back. But in fact, if you set up ground rules in advance, it makes it much easier than you think it'll be. When you interrupt, everybody knows what you're doing. You're enforcing the ground. You're not being rude. You're not even interrupting. You're simply enforcing the ground rules, which everyone not only agreed to, but damn well knows it'll make things a hell of a lot better. Now, if you set up ground rules and then you don't enforce them, well, don't tell anybody you listen to us. I mean, right, why waste the time? Set up ground rules, enforce the ground rules, and then say, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, say to somebody who's violating the stay on agenda ground rule, hey, you're off agenda, you're off task, get back on track, and be brief because other people have something to say. Okay? And then, look, another agenda item, another ground rule, which is closely related to stay on time and stay on agenda, is no tangents, no rabbit trails, no rambling. You would pick any one of those, depends on the culture of your organization, what you call those wild goose chases that people go off on. But you can even have a ground rule specifically against somebody who rambles. Let's call a spade, right? It's a known issue. And if we're smart, we have to try to eliminate it in advance when we can. The problem with this, of course, is meeting leaders tend to erode the value of this ground rules by doing too much rambling themselves, yeah, because they have power in the meeting and nobody else can trump them. And that's shame on us. But look, if you're going to say stay on time and stay on agenda, you might as well say no rabbit trails. And a fourth one, which is essentially the positive version of no rabbit trails, no rambling, is parking lot. If Bob starts talking about Project Y, and Project Y is not on the agenda, you say, sorry, Bob, that's Project Y. Put it in the parking lot, and we'll come back to it. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and folks, if you don't know what a parking lot is, go to our Effective Meetings.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
It's incredibly powerful. Those are some of the things you can do before the meeting. What about during the meeting itself?
Yeah, look, address it directly when it happens. Okay? And we've got some examples. Okay? And guys, again, all of this stuff we're about to recommend is made much easier if you've set ground rules appropriately in advance. So when Bob starts rambling, you interject and you say, Bob, we're behind schedule. Now look, this is a very kind way of saying that somebody is taking too long.
Yeah, well, and the problem, it's so kind that it only works half the time, probably.
You're totally right. Okay, you're totally right. And it's gentle enough that if you're lucky enough to get it to work one of the two times that you try it, it's still worth using, and you and I both use it, so we might as well share it. The way I see it is it's like artillery fire. The first round is just to measure where you're firing and to see what happens. You don't expect to hit them on the first one, but they know they're being fired at.
It's the second or third one that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the second example we have is, Bob, please wrap it up.
Okay, round number two, we're closer.
Yeah, you're telling Bob his time is up. It's direct. But guys, it's not considered offensive. People know when they're rambling 90% of the time. Everybody else in the room sends a message of love and affection to you when you say, Bob, please wrap it up. Everybody else knows Bob is off on a tangent, and they know that rambling causes agenda to be blown up and meetings to run long, and they don't like it when other people do it. So you call them by name and you say, please wrap it up. And you're not saying you're rambling. They'll infer that, certainly. But you're simply saying, I got to be the enforcer of the ground rules, or if we don't have ground rules, at least the agenda. That said, guys, if you don't have ground rules and you don't have an agenda, you could still say, Bob, we're behind schedule, like our first example, because in your head, you know roughly how much has to be done. We think that's dumb, but you could get away with it. And you could also say, Bob, please wrap it up, even to somebody with no agenda and no ground rules, because you're the meeting leader and you have an obligation to get as much done as quickly as you can. And so it's okay to say you've had enough time. And the last thing you could say is, sorry, Bob, we're moving on. Or, sorry, Bob, I'm going to cut you off there. I don't like to cut you off there. I prefer the sorry, Bob, we are moving on. And look, you say that when you've decided Bob's had enough time. Maybe Bob's rambled so much that you're behind schedule. It also might mean that even if you're not behind on the agenda, you're cutting Bob off and using the agenda as a rationale to do so. I've done it 100 times. It always works. And look, I admit, it always works when you have agendas and ground rules in place, which I always do because I hate meetings without them. And you know what? If I have an agenda and I have ground rules, like the ones we talked about, and then I say to somebody, sorry, Bob, we're moving on, and Bob decides he gets his feelings hurt, you know, guys, let's remember the umbrella story. I poked him with an umbrella, but he got mad. He got his feelings hurt all by himself. He's an adult. He knows he's taken too long. Right. Everyone else in the room knows he's taken too long. You're not obligated to make everybody happy.
Yeah, and he agreed to the ground rule, so he's got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, so I know somebody's out there saying, well, sometimes people come to my meetings and they weren't read into the ground rules. I said, well, okay, a couple of things. One, you can say, sorry, you're new here, but we have a ground rule, no rambling. Or you can post the ground rules in the meeting every single time on a sticky piece of flip chart paper and leave it in the room and say, this is how it works. And even if you didn't do either of those things, you can say, sorry, Bob, I know we didn't brief you in. We have a ground rule, no rambling. I've determined you're rambling. We need to be brief. I need to cut you off at this point. We're moving on to somebody else. And you do that one time in a project meeting, wow, well, you get people's attention. Yeah. There is no excuse for not applying these rules, guys. Everything we're telling you in a project meeting, a little bit softer on the feedback, which we'll talk about in a second, simply because you're saying, well, I never had time to set up ground rules or an agenda in a project meeting. Look, if you're running a project meeting, send out an agenda in advance. We've put out a podcast about how to send out a rough agenda. If you've got three items or four items, you give them each 15 minutes for an hour-long meeting, and you send out the agenda with that. It's not perfect, but at least it keeps you from having one agenda item blow up the other three because you've got a rambler taking charge of the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I wonder if people who've listened to the Effective Meetings podcast are listening to these on these meeting killers. I wonder if they're starting to get the fact that it's amazing that any meeting can possibly happen and get anything done without ground rules and agendas, right?
Yeah. One is forever hopeful.
Okay, so what about after the meeting? Okay, so anything we can do to increase the likelihood that we'll have less rambling in the future?
Yeah, there are two things you can do after a meeting to decrease the incidence of rambling. They are hot washes and feedback. Feedback is a little different in the event of project meetings. We'll cover that in a second, okay? And we have a podcast on hot washes. I'm pretty sure, Mike, I mentioned it as my favorite manager tool. I could be wrong. I may have said meeting introductions is my favorite, but I happen to love hot washes because organizations who do them, they don't make the same mistakes twice. And frankly, if you run a hot wash, and guys, if you don't know what a hot wash is, it's a quick meeting after a meeting in order to review how the meeting went, or it's a quick meeting after a process or a project or anything else, where you quickly go over, some of you might know it as an after action report, and they're reviews of previous actions. And if you run them well, the candor is fantastic. And the fact that someone says out loud that they made a mistake or that somebody else made a mistake and everybody's honest about it, you learn so much faster and you implement that learning so much faster. Organizations get better. The best organizations I know of are brutal in a candid professional way, not in a negative way, but they're brutal with each other about what went well and what didn't go well. So please listen to our Hot Wash podcast. And because they talk about everything, all actions, all behaviors in a meeting that you run are on the table, including Bob's rambling. And you'd list it on the take a look at side, on the negative side, if you will, of the ledger you created of Bob rambled, right? So have a hot wash after a meeting and say, well, what do we need to take a look at? What was good? Do we start on time? Do we stay on time? Do we finish on time? And then hopefully you'll have less instances of rambling because people call other people out and say, you know, Bob talked for 15 minutes about a topic and we only had 10 minutes set aside for it. And that's not good. Okay. Second thing is feedback. Okay. Frequent listeners obviously know what we mean by feedback, but 5 minutes after the meeting in the hallway, or a day later after the meeting when you remembered something that Bob did, or maybe you're at your cube and Bob stops by and you remember you wanted to talk to him about his rambling in the meeting, or you walk by Bob's cube and you realize, ooh, I need to tell Bob that sometime in the next couple of days. Maybe you're in your one-on-one with him. You would say to Bob, you would follow the manager's rules feedback model. This is if Bob was your direct, not in a project meeting. You would say, can I share something with you? Bob says yes, and you say, when you talk for several minutes off topic, it slows the meeting down. Can you work on that for our future meetings? Not hard. Or, can I give you some feedback? When you talk for more than 3 to 4 minutes, when we're running tight on an agenda, it makes it hard for us to stay on the agenda. Can you try to tighten up your comments in the future? Or, you could say, hey, Bob, can I share something with you about your performance? He says yes, and you say, when you tell several stories that take as long as they did today, it slows our meeting down and we get behind schedule. Other people lose interest. Can you be more brief in the future? And guys, we could spend hours talking about the feedback model, and we already have. I was just with a client this week, and they said, I'm going to start calling you Mark Feedback. I'm like, you know, you don't have to use that word, but whatever gets you through the night, man. Now, you can't use this technique if you've got a peer of yours. Let's say you're a manager and he or she is a manager. If they're assigned to you as a project team member, but you're the project manager, you would have to use what we call the peer feedback model. You don't ask step one, which is, can I share something with you? And you don't ask them to change their behavior in step four. You just used what we call the peer feedback model. And it would sound like this. Hey, Bob, I don't know if you know it, but when you talk for several minutes off topic, it slows the meeting down. I just wanted you to know that, right? So you mentioned steps 2 and 3 of the model, which is when you do this, here's what happens, but you leave out steps 1 and step 4. It's very non-confrontational. It doesn't come across as you talking down to a direct. You're essentially sharing data with somebody who may be a peer of you, yours. And then the last point about project meetings is if somebody much more senior than you is somehow weirdly assigned to your project and reporting to you, then I would say you ought to ask yourself, do I need to do that? Do I need to actually give feedback to that person, or might that be politically dangerous to do? And there are some cases where you can't do that.
There you go. Easy stuff, right? And so we agree that the rambler is the worst of the offenders. Only because it just happens so often.
Yeah.
It's more just most likely, but as you've shown, it is not hard to fix.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. You set ground rules. You assert yourself. And some of you are not assertive, and that's okay. But you act like you know a meeting leader ought to be acting. And you give them feedback. And then afterwards, you also do hot washes. And guys, I got to tell you, do this. You won't have any more rambling. Your team will thank you. And maybe even Bob will thank you. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, my friend. Yeah. Thank you. And travel safe.
All right. Thanks, partner.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.